go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bullen.
Hey, Ben, I got a question for you. Have you ever painted your own car?
I have only painted very small parts of my own car. It's funny, we were talking about this earlier this week. My family, especially my dad, were big believers in having just the little bottle of touch-up paint.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a nail polish container, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
I have attempted to paint an entire vehicle at one point when I was in high school, my first car.
Are you serious?
I did. I tried it, and very poor results. Did a terrible job. I made a little, you know, a paint booth in a friend's garage, and we rented a compressor and a gun and, you know, tried to mix the paint and everything, and I did all the prep work myself, and the body was in really poor condition. I didn't even attempt to do some of the rust.
So no Bondo, no sanding?
No, none of that stuff. It was just a lot of taping. It was a 1978 Trans Am, and it had that huge screaming bird on the hood. And I taped that entire thing. So you can imagine how long that took.
That was forever.
That was miserable work. But what I learned from this was, you know, some things are better left to the professionals.
Some things are. They're better left for the professionals. But, you know, you and I are DIY type of dudes. So we've had conversations about almost every single topic that comes up on this podcast, sometimes on the air, sometimes off the air. Mm-hmm. You and I will sit down and say, well, could you do it, you know, yourself? Could you do it at your own house, in your own garage?
Mm-hmm. I've kind of got some new a new feeling about this now. Because I didn't know about this at the time, but there's a dramatically different way to go about this.
Yes, I would say a daring way, because you understand now this is something that you told me about, Scott, and I was enormously skeptical when you first mentioned it. Mm-hmm. The question, of course, which is the title of our podcast, can you really paint your car for $50? Mm-hmm. 50 bones.
Yeah, really. And it sounds completely implausible. Like, there's no way that you would be able to do this. But I'm here to tell you, you can do it. And maybe it might cost you a few more dollars in some of the equipment and parts, materials. But that's a really good ballpark price, is about $50.
Yeah, so our myth busting here is actually, spoiler alert, pretty good news. It is possible to do this. Maybe not for exactly $50, but definitely for less than, let's say, the $1,500 you might be charged for another paint job.
Oh, Ben. How long has it been since you've been to a paint shop?
No.
I went recently with my Chrysler,
yeah,
you know, the old project car.
Yeah.
I didn't even take the car in. I just, you know, because it has more to do to get it on the road, really.
So you just drop by.
So I dropped by a place, and I said, you know, here's what I'm looking at. I've got this. It's got a really good body, not any rust-through spots, anything like that. It may need a little Bondo to fill in some dents here and there, dents and dings. How much does it cost me? And I was getting prices in the $10,000 to $14,000 range for a real simple paint job, and I just about fell over. I couldn't believe it. I was really thinking, like, what if I do, you know, take all the chrome work off,
do all
and
the
strip
prep.
It, do all the prep myself? Could you do it for, like, maybe $1,000? Just spray the car.
Yeah.
No way. They said, I can't even do the materials for $1,000. I need, you know, and the price was, like, it was just astronomical. And I think a lot of people are finding that, you know, that's relatively common now. I know you can go to, you know, a national chain place and they'll do it for, you know, $800 or $600 or whatever it is.
But you kind of get what you pay for.
You do. And that's what, you know, a lot of people say that in regards to this whole project. That, I mean, this is a really polarizing subject for people. Some people say absolutely you can do it and there's no reason you can't do it for your own, you know, for $50 or $100 yourself. Others say you absolutely can't do this. Take it to the professionals. You get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in that, you know, there's a lot of prep work that goes into this. There's a ton. You will be investing a ton of time and effort in doing this yourself. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're paying for at the shop. You know, if you get a $10,000 paint job or $14,000 paint job, and they were telling me that it may even go up from that point. You know, that depends on what they find when they're in there. So, and you know as well as I know that it's going to go up.
Yeah, it's probably not going to go down, for sure.
I wouldn't think so. They wouldn't say like, oh, guess what, Mr. Benjamin, we got it done for only $4,500 and here's your money back. But honestly, what this entire topic comes down to is prep work and like post-paint work, like once you're done, what you do with it. And that's where the majority of this topic lies.
Yes, so we're making a big deal already about the amount of time, and we want to be very clear about this. This is not a $50 paint job if you are counting, you know, the hours you spend. So if you say, hey, I'm paying my – let me count my own time at $10 an hour.
Yeah.
No, it's already over.
One thing we need to point out early on here, because, you know, I think a lot of people are intrigued by this probably already.
Yeah, I hope so.
And this goes back several years, but if you have to buy things like a polisher, you know, the mitts that go on the end of the polisher, all the polishing compounds and
good
all that.
Quality buffer.
Which you really do. You have to have this stuff.
Yeah.
If this is your first time doing something like this or with, you know, dealing with car detailing, some of the materials that you're going to have to buy, we're talking about just the paint supplies, like the little trays and the rollers and the – I said it.
Oh, we did.
Just mentioned it. But some of the supplies, you know, the paint is really, really cheap if you do it the way we're talking about.
Yeah.
You can go up in price. We'll talk about all this.
I'm getting
ahead of myself.
Oh, no, it's fine. We'll talk about it now.
So, Ben.
Yes.
Let me let you just – I just kind of spoiled it already. But the big difference between this and when you go and have it painted in a paint booth, what's the big difference here?
Ah, absolutely. The big difference is the way in which the paint is applied.
Mm-hmm.
And – the surprise here for anyone who didn't catch what we had said just a second ago, the surprise is that there is not spraying involved. This is taking a foam paintbrush roller and literally rolling your car to paint it.
I know. That sounds absolutely crazy to you the first time you heard it, right?
It sounds like an internet stunt.
It's not the same roller that you would use to paint a wall.
This
is a high-density foam roller. Mm-hmm. It's very, very small. It's like maybe 3 or 4 inches in length.
Yeah.
Really, really, really packed, dense cells in this thing. And you use foam brushes as well. You don't ever use a brush that has, you know, the bristles like you would think.
None of that.
This is all completely different. But, and once you thin the paint and once you have it, you know, properly mixed, and there's a procedure, a very, very complex procedure, actually,
right,
that goes
right
along with it. It's, you know what, it's easy. There's just so many steps involved. That's all.
Yes.
You're definitely going to need a guideline to go by. You're going to probably want to print out a schedule for yourself of what to do because you may get lost in the process here.
Oh, good point, Scott. This is by no means a one-day hangout.
Oh, no. This is more like a week-long project,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer. Depends on what kind of time you have to throw at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, to get over that initial shock, I think people, when they hear that you are going to use a roller on your car, that scares a lot of people.
Yeah, it scared me too because let's be honest, it sounds like a horrible idea because when we think of using rollers to paint something, we're thinking of, you know, most people are probably thinking of interior walls mm-hmm. in their house. But it goes back to the type of paint you use and, now this is key here, how you thin that paint because you have to thin it. One of the there are three kinds of paint that come up a lot that mm-hmm. we hear. We're going to hear people say, or you'll read people on forums saying that they use Rust-Oleum or Trim-Clad.
That is one of the biggest ones used, I think, mm-hmm. the most popular.
And then there's another guy here who Scott and I are officially big fans of, and we'll tell you about him later. But he also mentioned Interlux Bright Sides.
Okay.
Marine top.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that Bright Sides, that's a marine paint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right. And, you know, the funny thing is, like, you'll hear Rust-Oleum and you'll think, no way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spray paint my car. Well, it's the same manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
The paint is sold in quart containers, or you could even get gallon containers of this if you wanted to.
You'll probably need just quarts for this.
The interesting thing about this is, you know, like this is like paint technology, almost like it's kind of like what they used on automobiles in the early days of automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
It's single stage paint. You know, I don't want to. I'm not a painter. I don't want to get into like, you know, what's best, polyurethane paints,
right?
The gloss high enamel. I don't even know what the lingo is really. You need to go to a paint shop and talk to somebody and find that out. But this paint, I mean, it does have a high gloss mm-hmm. that Rust-Oleum does. You can buy a gloss paint. It can be thinned. You know, it's an oil-based paint that we're talking about, not a latex, so it can be thinned using – some people use acetone, but others say don't do that. Use mineral spirits because it dries slower.
Yeah, the mineral spirits, for the record, at this point in the forums, mineral spirits are winning the thinner contest.
Yeah, I think so.
Acetone, people are complaining that it messes with the flash on the paint.
Flash is too fast is what they're saying, I think. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, the thing is, like, you know, all these materials, they sound so strange to use on a car, but honestly, if you really think about it, Rust-Oleum is meant to be a protective layer, you know, that you put on something outside, like outdoor furniture.
Sure, it's exterior.
Exactly, or maybe a lawnmower or something like that. Why wouldn't such a hard, durable paint be good for your automobile? And you think about, like, well, I've spray painted things before and it turned out okay.
Yeah.
Different process, different. This is completely different when you get down to it because we're going to be talking about, like, wet sanding and we're talking about 10 or 12 different coats of material. It's a big process.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use spray cans or rattle cans, like they say, as they call them, because there's very little control with something like that. You can use Rust-Oleum spray paint in a spray gun, you know, with a compressor.
Sure.
And spray it on like, you know, you normally would with any other automotive paint. And the benefit there would be that, you know, the Rust-Oleum is a cheaper paint, less expensive. But I think a lot of people were saying that, you know, if you're going to do it that way, you might as well just roll it on and you've got a little bit more control over it. If you're not familiar with how to paint with a gun anyways, or don't have the materials, this is the way to do it. There's a lot less paint wasted in the air because I think they say something like 30% of the paint is just kind of wasted in overspray and just kind of naturally you know, floats away and
that's if it's not windy.
Exactly. And it becomes a mess. With this method, there's very little cleanup left to do. I mean, it's in a very controlled manner that you apply this stuff. And I don't know, I think it's a good option. I really do.
Well, let's go stem to stern real quick. Let's talk about the very first step. You've got your barn find or your project car, you know, and the first thing you do when you want to get a car painted, whether you're in a pro shop or at your driveway, is the prep work is when you begin taking off components of the vehicle.
Right? Everything.
You take everything you can.
Everything and anything that you don't want paint on. I mean, this can go right down to taking the windshield out and taking the back glass out.
And the side mirrors too.
Side mirrors. Take the keyholes out. Take
headlights, taillights.
Trim everything. Every single bit of anything that you want, to be painted, leave on. Mm-hmm. Anything you don't want painted or don't want any paint anywhere near, you know, take that off.
Right. Yeah.
And the prep work is huge. So let's just, you know, we're going to gloss over this by saying, prep work is very, very important. Get the, you know, do all the Bondo work, do all the sanding, do everything you need to do ahead of time, and that's what we'll say for the body work, because body work can go a lot of different ways. You know, that can be panel replacement, that can be prepping the material with certain types of acids and etching materials, and we don't want to get into that right now, but once you've got the body ready to go, the beautiful thing about if you use a Rust-Oleum or something similar to that, now, this may be different for other types of automotive paints that you may get, choose to get, which we'll tell you about later. Mm-hmm. But Rust-Oleum is meant to go over either paint, existing paint, if you scuff it, or bare metal. So one of the benefits of this is that you don't necessarily have to prime. You can put this right on top of bare metal on paint or over Bondo or anything that you have there. It will cover.
Yeah, and when you are working with this paint, you've come to the second step of the prep process. Now, as we said, of course, we're not going to go too deep into the case-by-case basis of what you need to prepare for your car or how you need to prepare the body, other than to say as a rule of thumb, if you're having that moment where you look at your car and you think, should I take this off before I start? Then the answer is probably yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, do it.
So here we are, second step, you're preparing your paint. Now, the problem with just undiluted Rust-Oleum or an undiluted paint, whichever kind you decide to use, is that it's not going to dry quickly enough for your purposes.
Yeah, it will go on nice and thick.
Yeah,
And you'll get great color out of it. The problem is it will go on nice and thick, and it'll probably drip and it'll probably run.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of problems in it. And the drying process, Ben, I've heard that if you put it on thick enough, Some of that stuff can take as long as, you know, a couple of weeks, even a couple of months to properly dry. I mean, that, so if you're trying to wax or buff the car, that would be a big mistake because, you know, you would think that, well, there's been plenty of time. It's been 2 months since I painted my car.
I was able to touch it that one time and it didn't come off on
my
finger.
I didn't leave a fingerprint in there, you know, a fingerprint ID on my car. So, you know, if you want to do this the right way, thinning is critical, and you'll find that, you know, a lot of people have different methods of doing this. So when they mix it with the mineral spirits, because we're talking about an oil-based paint, you mix it with mineral spirits in the proper mixture. You know, there's a lot of places that'll tell you what the mixture is. Some people mix it just with a plastic spoon. I mean, this is how easy it gets.
You know, mixing, stirring it.
Exactly. When you pick up the spoon, if it's when you can count the drops every second, and if it drops at, like, let's say three drops a second, that's the proper mix. Other people say, like, no, it has to be exactly this mix, and some people just say wing it, you know, like, just do it as you feel. Make it nice and thin. Some people say it should be the consistency of low-fat milk.
Yeah, and other people have said do a 50-50 ratio or hard and fast rule. Now, we're obviously not advocating winging it. You don't want to wing this project.
No, I don't know, Ben. Why not?
Why not?
Play around with it. If you want a little thicker, that's fine, but just expect longer drying times. It has to be thinned in some way, though, and honestly, the stuff looks like water when you put it on.
Yes.
And that's one of the surprising things, because I looked at this article, Ben. There's an article online. If you're doubting what we're saying...
Oh, yeah, check this out, Little Faith.
Yeah, this article goes back to 2007, so this is, at this point, 5 years old. Hot Rod Magazine, of all, you know, all places. And I would think you can trust Hot Rod Magazine, right?
Oh, yeah. I think they're not spinning stories.
They've been around a while.
Yeah.
A long time. So Hot Rod Magazine did this on a 1962 Ford Falcon that they had just kind of rusting in the back of the shop. You saw the results, right?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
You've seen this. They did this complete transformation. They called it a $98 paint job, Ben.
What were their extra expenses?
Well, you know, I've got some of the extras listed here, and they list completely. They've got a complete list of what they spent and, you know, how much material they used. Actually, that's just simply for the paint job supplies, $98.29. Of that, the only amount of paint, now it's a 62 Ford Falcon, so it's a kind of a smaller car.
Sure.
Not very big. 2 quarts of paint is all it took. Mm. 2 quarts. Now imagine, you know, a quart-sized paint jar on the shelf. You can see how small it is. Once it's thinned and applied, and they did, I want to say, like almost 10 coats of this stuff.
Yeah.
The price of the paint was only like, it was less than $16 for the actual paint. The rest of the stuff was for tape and brushes and...
trays and stuff.
Exactly, the trays and the sandpaper, because there's a lot of wet sanding that happens. But they did a beautiful job. It took them about 10 days worth of work. I don't remember if it was – I think they painted it – it was going from a white car to a white – you know, a new white paint. So less coats were necessary.
Yeah.
But they actually – they loved the results and said they wouldn't hesitate to do it again. It's a it's a total transformation. If you look at the vehicle online, I can tell you the name of the article. The name of the article is a 1962 Ford Falcon receives a budget paint job, the $98 paint job. Mm-hmm. Search that, Hot Rod Magazine, and I think you'll be a believer.
It's worth the time. Now, you may still be skeptical by the time you get to, what would you say, the third illustration or so? Because the thing about this paint is, once it's thinned to that viscosity, it doesn't actually seem as though it's carrying the color for the first couple of coats, right?
Yeah,
depending on what you pick.
That's right, because you're putting it on like water.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine like just how thin this is. This is going to be terribly disappointing to you at first. You're going to think like I've ruined my car.
But you've already gone too far to turn back. Don't give up.
Don't give up. This is just the way it is, and you've got to you know, expect this early on. I'll tell you the process in just a moment after we follow this, but. For about the first, I would even say 4 or 5 coats, Ben, you may not even really see the color.
Yeah,
that's
really
how thin we're talking. You're still going to see metal body work through this thing. You're still going to see all the Bondo work that you've done.
Yeah.
All the imperfections, everything's still going to be there. You've got to hang in there and stick with it. There's going to be, you know, you'll roll it on the first time, and it's going to look terrible. There's going to be drips. There's going to be bubbles.
Right. Fish
there's
eyes
be
and stuff.
A million bubbles. Hopefully no fish eyes, but there'll be lots of bubbles. And you've got to trust... in that you've done everything right up to this point, you know, follow the instructions, trust that you've done it right, and the bubbles will go away. There's even, you know, some people that suggest using a hair dryer with a very low setting just to kind of pop the bubbles a little early. The paint self-levels because that's what you're doing with the thinner.
Right.
It really does work, but it's going to take time and it's going to take your patience. You've got to hang in there because really, how frustrating would it be to be like 3 or 4 days into this and your car, you could still see metal through this.
Which might happen. But so here's where we're at. We put on our hypothetical first coat, right? We don't see any color.
Nope.
And we know because we've done our research in advance that we need to give this hours to dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on, let's say you've got it outside and it's a nice hot summer afternoon.
And you can do this outside.
And you can do this outside. Mm-hmm. We should mention that. You do not need to have a paint studio.
No. Or even a garage.
Or even a garage, mm-hmm. which is going to come in handy for some people. And after you've let this coat dry, your next step is not to immediately coat it again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wet sand.
Yeah, that's right. Now, some people say that you can go 2 coats without wet sanding. I don't know. It's up to you. You could even do the full thing and then wet sand at the end. But the problem is you're just building on top of the previous flaws. So
right.
Let's say you put on one coat and there's orange peel, which there will be, mm-hmm. which is, you know, exactly what it sounds like. It looks like the surface of an orange. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, you know, across, so you can see light reflecting in it.
Yeah.
There's going to be imperfections. There's going to be, who knows, Ben, there may be even like a little bug that got in there and died
or
something.
Yeah, did you see those?
Don't worry about that stuff. Yeah. That's stuff that will come out of the paint, no problem at all. I know people will be upset with it early on or even little specks of dust or whatever.
Yeah.
It all
especially
comes out.
If you're outside.
It all comes out. It really mm-hmm. does. Because this is taking so long. You're not talking about 1 or 2 coats. You're not stuck with what you see there the first time.
Right.
That's the beauty of this. But the process, Ben, if you want to just go through this, like,
yeah.
And I'll do this super fast, okay? Because this
way
is what
faster
it's like.
Than you can actually do
now,
it.
Now, the wait time between paint coats, you said you could wet sand in between. I'm going to say wet sand in between every 2 coats.
You're going to say 2 coats.
Yeah, but you wait at least – when I say wait, I mean you're waiting like at least 6 hours.
Right, yeah.
In between coats. So mm-hmm. the process that a lot of people find is that they put on a coat in the morning. They wait until like maybe early evening. They put on another coat. They wait, let it wait overnight. Then the first thing they do in the morning is they wet sand the entire vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about wet sanding with like 600 grit. You do it real
right.
gently. Especially at first, real, real gentle. You're just knocking down the bumps on the surface.
I've read some places recommend going down a 400 grit if you have a trouble spot.
Oh, okay. So you get a little more aggressive with it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm seriously thinking about doing this to the Monte Carlo, man.
It's, you know what? I would suggest that you do that.
Yeah. If I do this, I will update everyone, but I would like to, if possible, stick to 600 for the whole car.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course. Try to keep it as fine as possible. I mean, the less grit that you – or actually the higher grit that you can use, the better. I don't know how to say that really. The less aggressive that you have to be with it, the better. But you do want to knock it down so that it's a smooth finish. Now, so we're on the next morning. We're on day two. You've wet sanded the whole vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You wipe it down with mineral spirits again as they recommend. As soon as that dries, which will be instantly almost, you paint again.
Third coat.
You wait for 6 hours. You paint again. Mm-hmm. Then you let it sit overnight. And then the first thing you do the next morning is you wet sand.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on. So wet sand, paint, wait, overnight, wet sand, paint, wait, and so on.
Yes.
And this goes on and on and on. And you do this, literally it's going to take you 8 to 10 coats. You're going to start to see good coverage of the paint in like maybe 6 coats.
6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah, 6 or 7 coats. So be patient. Once you start seeing good coverage, at that point, it's kind of up to you, like how far do you go? Because remember, you're going to be doing a lot of sanding, a lot of polishing at the end. Because this, the post work is where, you know, the polishing compounds come in, and those are pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
But you want to sand it down perfectly smooth. Wet sand. Of course, we're talking like at the end, you know, the final sand is like
1,500, right?
1,500 or even 2,000.
Wow.
So you're talking about a really, really fine wet sand.
Mm-hmm.
And again, follow directions. Be sure you follow directions. But once you get to that point, you know, you're doing a lot of hand polishing, maybe some real, real light polishing with machine, but be very careful. And again, read the instructions carefully. The edges are where you're going to have some trouble. You may rub through the paint.
Right.
That's where you may want to, some people say they tape the edges
mm-hmm.
So that they do those by hand so it's a little smoother, a little softer. you know, with the course material. But honestly, Ben, at the end of this thing, you and I have seen the results.
Oh, yeah.
When if you do this properly and you get all the way through the end and you use all of the procedures and processes that they talk about, at the end you do the proper steps to bring the paint shine out,
mm-hmm.
the finishes on these cars are absolutely beautiful.
Unbelievable, too. Oh, brother, you guys, if you are at all interested in this, please check out this website. Just Google Rick, like the first name Rick, Wrench, like monkey wrench, Corvair. He's got this 1966 Corvair, mm-hmm. and I swear, folks, this looks beautiful. Yeah. This does not look like a cheap paint job.
No, and he did it outside in his driveway. I mean, that's the thing. Like, and he, as he's documenting this, mm-hmm. I mean, Ben, there's like bugs are dying in the paint, and he's worried about that. And he says, you know what? I didn't even need to worry about it. When I wet sanded, it was gone.
Yes,
because you've prepped the other, you've gone through that step ahead of time. It's like layer after layer after layer.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking it out of that for that layer that you just laid down. I mean, birds are pooping on it and stuff, you know, and it's like like all worried about it. He's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to wet sand it out, and I mm-hmm. paint over it one more time, and it's gone. The cool thing about this is that he used he did use the Rust-Oleum
for the base coat, which is white.
Exactly. It's a white base coat, and it's just an off-the-shelf color. So any touch-up that he has to do, and he did eventually have to do some touch-up, but the only reason he did the touch-up was because a tree limb fell on the car.
Yeah, that tree knocked out his chunk.
So this guy, you know, a lot of people say, well, what about durability? What about shine? What about, you know, this, that?
Yes.
What about gloss? You know, so, you know, it's extremely shiny. It's like a mirror finish. I mean, it's beautiful.
Now, we should point out that in this case, one of the reasons that it looks so good is when he did his post-paint work, he was using a polisher, and then he said his polisher, I think, broke or malfunctioned.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm going to go ahead and do this by hand. And then he said, and then I got back in my right mind and went and purchased a buffer.
Yeah, because you will spend countless hours polishing new paint by hand. If you do it that way, it's going to be exhaustive. I mean, it can be done, of course. You know, you don't have to buy a polisher.
It's if you have somebody doing it by hand, and I know that I might sound like a bad person for this, but it's a great job for a neighborhood kid who doesn't have other stuff to do.
Oh, I wouldn't trust that to a neighborhood kid. No way. See, that's the thing. They'll rub through the joints on this thing.
Oh, that's
because
you're
using aggressive compounds when you're doing this. So,
Maybe you're right.
You know,
you're right.
People were asking questions of this guy, and this is not uncommon. You know, you can find 1,000 examples of this online,
mm-hmm.
but this is just one that we found. And he did. They said, well, what's it look like now? You know, now that it's been a while. So he does updates, right, on his site. You'll mm-hmm. notice that there's a 4-month update, an 8-month update, a 1-year update, and then a 3-year update.
Yes, and he ends the 3-year update. Oh, by the way, the car looks fantastic still.
It does. I mean, you can see reflections of, you know, he takes the photos at the right time of day when you can see reflections mm-hmm. in it. And you can see the reflections of trees. You can see everything in it. It's like a mirror finish on this thing, on a white car. It's beautiful.
It really is. And
he did racing stripes.
Yes, he did racing stripes. He also ends his 3-year update by saying, what does he say? He says, okay, I can update later if you guys want as we go, but if nothing's happened now.
Yeah, he said, you know what, there's a lot of, you know, little dents and dings that happen just because of, you know, it's a driver. So
right.
I think he's hit a couple of parking blocks and things like that. So, you know, the front end, like, may have some cracks in it, you know, the lower, the air dam
mm-hmm.
that he painted. But, honestly, like, the only reason that he needed to do any touch up was because of a tree limb that fell and hit the car. And it did crack where it hit. I think it, you know, abruptly snapped into the car at that
right.
point. The rest of the paint, I think he waited a long, long time before he even put any wax on it. A year or more? I don't remember
He waited quite a while.
I don't remember what the update was, but it didn't need it. It was beautiful. I mean, it was perfectly shiny, perfectly smooth. It's wonderful. And go through the forums, look at, you know, other examples of this. Like I said, there's hundreds of them.
Moparts is a good forum.
Oh, that's kind of where all this started. You know, someone was saying, can I get a paint job on this car for cheap if I do all the prep work? I just want it for like $4,500. Is it possible? And a lot of people were saying, there's no way. You can't get it done for that cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I was finding. I mean, $10,000 or $14,000, Ben?
First off, I think that's crazy.
It's a lot of car. It's a big car, but
sure,
I'm saying.
Sure, but is it $10,000
worth? And am I going to get $14,000 out of that car? I mean, not even total.
Yeah, let's be honest, buddy. That's more than the car itself is worth.
Oh, way, way more. I mean, I don't want to tell you, but it's way more. So, honestly, this is something that I would do at home because I've got a car that I'd like to bring back to life.
Yes.
You know, something that I want to be proud of to drive so it's not, you know, a calico color paint, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, it's one panel that's bare metal, one that's, you know, brown primer and the rest of it that was original factory that's all faded and chipped. And, you know, if you've got a car like that.
Yeah.
Do this.
Yeah, this is not for show cars. This is not for your that car you're taking to Pebble Beach.
No, and if you're hesitant about this, you know, I looked into like, well, if you're gonna do this with Rust-Oleum, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you just go to like a Sherwin-Williams or a you know another brand name paint manufacturer?
Great point.
And they can match a paint code for you on your car. That a lot of them can read paint code. You know, you can bring in your paint code. You know how to do that.
Yeah.
Bring in your paint code or your ID information to them. They can match the paint and give you the factory color in a paint that is similar to what they use today rather than what they used then with, you know, the protective, you know, barriers that they have, mm-hmm. UV protections, whatever, that they didn't have then. And you get the original color. It may be a little bit more. So instead of, like, let's say instead of the $5 or $7, you know, pint of or quart, rather, of Rust-Oleum, you're going to be paying $25 to $30, but then again, you only need two. So let's say that you buy, and they can tell you how much you probably need.
Sure.
So let's say that you get two quarts at $35, at $70 for the paint. That sure beats the heck out of a $10,000 paint job.
I still, every time you say that number, I get a little bit queasy and weirded out.
I know.
That's
and,
a surprise.
You know, there are, like we mentioned, the $600 paint jobs or whatever, but mm-hmm. be weary.
Yeah.
Be wary?
Wary.
Be weary?
Be wary.
Be wary, that's it.
Be wary, and you
or
know
you
what?
Will be weary.
Or you will be weary. There we go. We brought it back. We saved it. Yeah, the thing is, of course, we also want to say that we're in no way saying anything bad about professional paint jobs.
Absolutely not.
We're only saying that if this is something that is interesting to you, either from a financial perspective or just from a fun perspective, mm-hmm. because you can't really put a price on the kind of, and yeah, I'll say it, the kind of smug satisfaction a person experiences when they say, oh, Ben, did you get a new car? Nah, bro, I painted it.
Yeah, and then and then get this, and this is what most of these people say. You tell them that you put it on with a roller.
And
oh, they're like, I painted it myself, I put it on with a roller, and it only cost me $100.
Mm-hmm.
People will be blown away by this fact, and it's guaranteed to be a conversation starter.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think people will absolutely love to talk about that. I got one more tip that I want to give you here.
Lay it on me.
This is something that if you really are thinking about doing this, and I was thinking about how would I do this, because I'm a little nervous about doing this on my own car. I'm going to do it. I truly am going to do
Definitely
this.
Definitely going to do it?
I am, because I can't afford $10,000 for a paint job. So. And I don't know when this will happen because I'm still stripping my car. I'm still taking the paint off of it. But I am going to do this. I'm going to practice. I'm going to either buy an old car panel that I can practice on. You know, just go to a junkyard and get something that, you know, you could even practice your body prep work, you know, like your Bondo and all that, which is not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
Buy an old panel, or if you have one laying around, or can, you know, sometimes they'll even give you stuff like that. If you don't have something like that to practice on, and I mean practice like start to finish, like do this exactly how you would do the car. You know, you get up in the morning, you wet sand the car, you know, the panel down,
mm-hmm.
you paint it, wait, paint, wait, wet sand, you know, et cetera, all the way through the whole thing. It may take you a week to get this practice panel done.
Yeah.
But do it and see what the results are, and do it with the color that you intend to use and see what the results are. And then that's where you learn. And if you can't find, you know, a car panel or something like that, why not paint like an old, like a lawnmower deck? Or mm-hmm. something like that. You know, find an old pedal car and practice on that. You know, that may be something cool to do. Just find a piece of scrap metal and do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be big. It can be, you know, like 1 foot by 1 foot. Just do it from start to finish. See what the results are. See what you would change along the way if, you know, your paint mixing skills, your paint applying skills.
Right.
And I think you'll, you know, look at that practice piece that you've done and then imagine it on your car and I think you'll be surprised.
And we have car parts around here. We have a panel we can experiment on.
We do. We have a hood.
If you want. Yeah,
we have a hood of an MG.
We totally do.
Mm-hmm.
nobody follow up on that because we're not at liberty to say.
This may or may not happen.
but it sounds weird because I went from being enormously skeptical about this, as we mentioned in the beginning, to saying, hey, maybe it's going to be worth the time.
It's possible. And I'm sure that, you know, there's a way to mess this up. And I'll probably find the way – I'll find out those ways on my practice panel or my practice
Absolutely.
Piece of metal.
Instead of on your daily driver.
Exactly. You find out that early on and then do it the right way.
So I guess this is kind of wrapping up for us here. We want to give a shout-out to the forums on the internet that contain a wealth of information about this. We also – I want to take a second and say thank you to the great DIYers out there who not only made their cars look spectacular on the cheap, but they also went out of their way to put in step-by-step instructions and to make guideposts, because this is not something you want to go into shooting from the hip.
No. Take pages and pages of notes if you have to, or whatever you have to do to memorize this, because it's well documented how to do it right. Mm-hmm. And there's also some well-documented mistakes out there, so you know that say don't do it this way. Mm-hmm. Pay careful attention to all that, and kind of get down a best practices process for yourself.
And be patient. This is definitely one of the races where the turtle beats the hare.
Exactly.
Right? Do you want to hear some listener mail before we go?
I do.
Okay, so Carter writes into us, Scott, from Missoula, Montana, and he says, guys, I have some topic suggestions for you. I love the topics about individual cars like the NSX and the Venom. I think there are many more cars you guys could do. I'd also like to hear more motorcycle topics. Maybe you could dive into why and how motorcyclists drag their knees. I'm an avid motorcycle rider and racer and would love to hear about that one. And so he gives us a list of topics he came up with. And,
cool, motorcycle racer.
And we'll read through some of these pretty quickly to see if the listeners or if we are interested in these. Some of these we've already done, so our longtime listeners will know these.
Mm-hmm.
He said the history of the Porsche, modern motorcycle technology, Fiat's return to America, Formula One technology, history of the 24-hour of Le Mans, which we have done, engine configurations and placement, how anti-roll bars or sway bars work, splitters, spoilers, aerodynamics, 10 basic repairs anyone could do.
Not bad.
That's almost a series. The Porsche 911, 18-wheelers, the Baja 1000.
Those are some good suggestions.
Those are some good suggestions. And Carter said he's going to update us with more ideas as they come. And he said, yes, even in Montana, there are gearheads. We never doubted you, Carter. Thank you so much for writing in, man.
You know what, Ben? I've been thinking about maybe doing a show on the Maserati, but what's holding me back is all the pronunciation that we'll have to do.
Yeah, you know what? What we should probably do is just make a vocabulary list and learn the words.
Not bad. Those are good suggestions.
Yeah, those are pretty
good. There's a lot in there. There's a few that we've already done, so you know. Again, older listeners will or past listeners, I should say, not older listeners, but our listeners will know which ones have already been covered.
All right. And also, if you guys want to take a page from Carter's strategy and write to us with topic suggestions, we would love to hear from you. Send us, drop us a line on Facebook, send us a tweet on Twitter. We'd love to see pictures of any DIY paint job stuff you've done.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, especially if it's a full car. But even if it's, you know, some custom stuff, I have a soft spot for the custom pictures that you see on vans often.
Let's see that garden tractor that you painted.
Yeah, let's
How
check it
that?
Out. Yeah,
you know, anything like that, pedal cars, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, gas grill, lawnmowers, whatever.
Yeah, we want to know what you think about it and if you think it's a good idea. Some people might still not be sold.
I guess we would need a before and after.
We would like a before and after.
Yeah.
Because how else will we know the progress? The journey is part of it.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm getting corny. It's time for us to get out of here. Send us an email at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.